Hello, everyone, and welcome back. It's Richard Lannan for Set for Success, where we help you create a roadmap to be successful in your business, career, or life. I always love that idea of a roadmap. Wouldn't you love a roadmap? Wouldn't you love to take your life and have it totally mapped out and know where you're going to go? But guaranteed, there's going to be some peaks, valleys, and detours along the way. But I digress. Have you ever wondered what it would do if you could in some way, or what would happen if you could in some way make your headaches disappear? I like that idea. Sometimes I just have these zinger headaches. I'd like them to disappear. But with some quick tricks that you can solve all your business problems or personal problems, they would just vanish. And now I know that that's probably not possible, but I do think there are things that we can do to make our business better, to make our careers better, to make our lives better. I know there are many employees who wish their managers and their leaders would disappear. You're probably sitting there just chuckling at that one. Heck, you are probably thinking someone right now, this very moment, that if you could make them vanish from your work environment, you would. I don't suggest that you do. I'd rather you deal with the problem at hand, but hey, you know, we all think it sometimes. So as if by magic, your headaches disappear and everything is sort of happened, but really that doesn't solve anything. Our problems still exist, even if they sort of, when we're ignoring them or we think they're going to be okay. So wishing they disappear actually solves nothing, accomplished nothing. I know I have ignored a few things in my life too, and only for them to come bite me on the big toe later on. So what do you do to deal with your real headaches in our lives? The big word might be the word engagement. We engage in discussions to get to the root cause of a problem. So here's a little learning, right? Root cause analysis. From there, the discussions of alternative solutions. Then we pick the solution that best makes sense at that point in time and hopefully implement it. We review it, rediscuss it, and check the results. I know I make this sound really easy, but I know it's not always that easy. See, sometimes we want by magic, we want to make things disappear, but really often we might just have to get to a different perspective for today. And with my guests, we're probably going to chat a bit about that, getting to different perspectives and making things disappear. Greg Wood. Greg, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Richard. Thanks very much for having me here.
How do you like that intro?
I saw the magic being worked in there. Richard's working the magic.
Richard's working the magic. I'm doing my best, man. Sometimes my intros go really smoothly. Other times I wish they would disappear.
Yes, sir.
So to speak. Greg, I always like to start off with a very common question to get a bit of history, make a connection with the audience. You know, could you tell us a little bit about yourself, like about your history? Where are you from, Greg?
Well, I was born at a very young age.
That's good that you
were. Born in Winnipeg, so I could be close to my mother.
Yeah. He's a comedian, by the way.
But not a funny one. That's the unfortunate part. That's why I had to add magic to the act and become a comedy magician. So everything that you see that doesn't look magical was funny, and anything that's not funny was supposed to be magical.
I got to get the drums out right now. So let's back up on my question. You were born in Winnipeg to be close to your mother. That's really good that you were. But I'd like to get a bit of your history. So let's cut back into your history.
Well, I am of the generation. I'm 50 years old already, and so I'm of the generation, the last of the generation that has one job for their entire life. They study, they go to university, college, they get a degree or a position, and they move on. I said that into my 40s, that I was the last of those.
And you still are?
And I'm not. Made a big change. But when I was 16 years old, I had to make a decision about, you know, what it was I wanted to do when I grew up. Now, even in my age, I still don't know what I want to do when I grow up.
But, but that's different now.
That's a different thing. So because I had to pick the high school courses so that I could get into the college to become what I wanted to become.
Yeah, and it's interesting that we asked that of our youth that at 16 to make that decision.
Well, think back on it, Richard. Would you right now take the advice of a 16-year-old about what you should do for the rest of your life?
No, pretty much not. No.
And yet that's what I had done. I took the courses in high school. I decided I wanted to become a professional land surveyor.
Okay.
And I went to college and I studied and I earned my degree and my commission as a Manitoba land surveyor. And I did become a professional land surveyor at the age of about 25, and I bought into a professional land surveying firm, the premier land surveying firm in Winnipeg at the time in Manitoba, Wilson and Neal Land Surveyors, and I thought that that's what I would do for the rest of my life. It was all of my education. It was all of the things I knew. when you looked at it and thought, well, what else could you do? There was not anything I knew about that I could take another business and run it.
It's a practical job, right? You can go to it, you can make money, you can support your family, you can pay your bills, and you can do it right now.
Yeah, and we were making pretty good money. It wasn't that there was a problem with making money, but I just got to the point in my life where I wanted to make a change. And so I did make a change.
So how old were you when you made a change?
I was 45, 46 years old.
45, 46 years of age. Okay, yeah. That's a significant time in your life to make a change.
Well, I'd worked towards, from the time I was 16 till the time I was 25, I'd worked towards becoming a professional land surveyor. And it takes at least that long for normal people. But I'd worked at that for all those years and then spent over 20 years as a professional land surveyor, and only at the, you know, very end of my career as a land surveyor decided that's really not what I want to do with the rest of my life. So I stopped and said, what do I want to do? And it was then that I remembered how much I enjoyed performing for people. I'd studied as a kid, as a youth up to the age of about 22 in theater. I'd done theater studies and had acted in different plays, different things, semi-pro theater. Semi-pro, by the way, Richard, means they get paid and I don't. Yeah, that's what semi-pro is.
You throw money at the audience.
Yeah, they're basically, yes. Yeah. Never made any money at it and never made the leap into doing it. When I was about 21, I think 22, I was going to be a stand-up comic. I had about 2 hours of the stuff ready to go. That was a different time for comics, of course. It was wide open. And I was going to be a stand-up comic and open for two Elvis impersonators. Some of the best Elvis impersonators that I knew, guys I'd gone to school with, but really quite good Elvis impersonators. And to this day, if had I done that, I would still be using the material about opening for Elvis impersonators down the road. But that all fell through because, once again, I wasn't able to pull the trigger and push through and make that happen.
Yeah, and those are the challenges in life. No doubt, pulling the trigger, pushing through and making it happen.
Well, I was held back by my own self-limiting beliefs.
Okay.
That's what held me back. I did not believe I could be good enough. And it's tough to say I'm going to do this job when, at that time, I'd finished college, I had a good job, this could make good money. Why would I risk all of that?
Why would you risk it? We, Greg, are going to take a short break. When we come back, I think we might just want to talk about what do you do about dealing with your own self-limiting beliefs. This is Richard Lanfer, Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Greg Wood is my guest today. Greg, you know, just before the break, you were talking about dealing with limiting beliefs, and I want to dig further into that. But first, I just want to sort of tie in, what is you do now? Because we were talking a little bit about changing careers and everything. So if you were to give yourself a sort of an official title of what you do now, what is it that you do now?
I call myself the entertainer.
Entertainer, yeah, okay.
Because I do a combination of entertaining and training.
Yeah.
I do it at different levels. I do it from elementary schools and high school presentations to corporate presentations.
Yes.
But I tie the training in with the entertainment. And when I'm doing the entertainment, I love to tie a message in.
Yeah. And then, but don't you use magic to do that with?
Yes, I'm a magician.
Yeah.
Comedian.
Because
yes,
so I just want to sort of say, because I've watched you perform, and that's what got me interested in having you on the show. I thought it'd be something a little bit unique, right, compared to standard businesses that I've had on the show. I like the fact that you came forth and said that you went through a career change after being a surveyor. And then around 45, you went out and did something new, right? That you've been doing for a while, but you challenged with limiting beliefs. So let's sort of dig into that a little bit.
Well, to explain self-limiting beliefs, as a surveyor, I saw different things. Obviously, you're working in the field, you're out and about, you see different strange things. But I remember one day being in a farmyard, and as I watched a cow put her head right to the ground, turn it sideways, push her head forward, and start eating grass out of the side of her mouth. I looked at a farmer who was right there, and I said, did the cow just receive a blow to the head, or?
What happened?
What happened? And he just laughed. He said, nah, there just used to be a fence there. And it as I look back on it, that was an invisible fence.
Okay.
Have you ever seen an invisible fence, Richie? Well, that's stupid. If it was visible, you wouldn't see it.
It's invisible, you wouldn't see it, unless it's in cartoons, and then they sort of show it to you in a weird way. But anyway.
But there is something called an invisible fence. I discovered it when I was setting up for a friend's wedding. There was a dog that lived next door, but there was no fence to stop him from coming over to the backyard we were setting up in. But the dog came over to the edge of the yard and stopped. Didn't come any further. And I thought he was just really well trained. He had a collar on, and they had buried a wire under the ground. They run about a 12-volt system through this. And the collar reacts with that.
Yeah.
And as he gets close, it makes a little ding. And as he gets closer, it starts to
hurt a little bit.
Hurt a little bit until it can be quite painful. And the idea is to save your dog's life so they don't run out into traffic. You train them to stay in your yard. So it's not a bad thing. But they had one of these invisible fences. And that's the way I felt with my life, is I couldn't get to my dream job, the thing I wanted to do, stand in front of an audience, entertain them, and educate them, because that goal didn't fit within my comfort zone. And I'd get to the edge of my comfort zone, and I would stop. I could not make that leap getting over there until eventually I just got to the point where I knew this is what I had to do. I had to make the leap. I sold my land surveying business. I walked away, and I started in a job as an entertainer and with no guaranteed income anymore. Not that I had guaranteed income. When you own your own business, of course,
I've owned several companies, and no, you're never guaranteed income.
You still have to go and earn it, but it was regular income. We had regular clients, and I'd walked away from that, but I had to make the leap. And it really was kind of a leap of faith. By the way, we bought one of those invisible fences for our dog, and it didn't work. He would just grit his teeth and push right through.
You'd watch
the dog almost cartoonishly go zzz and move as he went through. But his desire to be outside the yard was stronger than his desire to have the comfort of being inside the yard. And man, why did I not learn that lesson from watching the dog? I used to go, that's a stupid dog that does that. But no, when I look back on it, that dog was smarter than I was.
Yeah, he's breaking boundaries.
Because he wanted to get out of his comfort zone to be where he wanted to be, which was over at the neighbor's yard.
Well, at least he had a destination in mind, right? There was obviously something over in the neighbor's yard that was a lot better for him.
Yeah. And that's really what I had to do, and stepped out. And, you know, January 1st in 2005, I had no guaranteed income, and I was going into a brave new world as I was entering into that area and trying to make a living as a full-time entertainer.
Yeah. Now, as a full-time entertainer, I mean, you do some interesting things, but you've traveled a lot, haven't you?
Yeah, I don't make the money I would have made as a land surveyor.
No.
I got offered a job several years back after I'd been out of the business back in land surveying, and I could have made some good money, but that's really not the point of my life, is just to make money. I've been able to travel to, I've performed in 10 countries on 5 different continents. I've performed in tiny little churches in India. I've performed in grand ballrooms in Mexico. Performed in theaters all over the place, and outdoor presentations on the beach in Belize. So it's just different places and different opportunities, and that I would not give that up just for the money.
Yeah, yeah, and it's interesting you would say that, because most professional speakers, most professional trainers, which I fall into that category too,
yes,
and professional consultants, and especially with the work that I've done in everything from London to Houston to, you know, San Francisco and stuff. And you start to do some of that stuff and you end up in these very unique places and you realize that, what a gift, you know, like you're getting to do something you enjoy doing and meeting interesting people, and away you go.
I remember standing in Acapulco, just outside Acapulco, doing a presentation. And I could see the waves crashing in the beach in the Gulf of Mexico just outside. And I thought, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. I was standing inside a building, but I could see that. And it really was an opportunity that I would not have had. And we get the opportunity, Richard, to meet with people that we wouldn't meet if we were just visiting those countries as tourists.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we wouldn't at all. We've got to take a short break, Greg. And I think when we come back, we're going to talk about pushing through your limitations and some of the challenges you've had in business. This is Richard Lannan. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. And Greg, it's been quite interesting. Greg Wood, that is, the edutainer, the musician, magician.
Enter trainer. Magician extraordinaire, I think, is what
that,
I put on my...
Is that the term you're
using? Well, it's what I put on my website. No one else calls me that, but it's, you know, I put it on the website.
I'm sure if you could ask for it in terms of your evaluation sometimes, somebody would actually write it down for you. I actually once joked, people that I've worked with and that, they look at me and go, you're so familiar. You're like, how do I know you? Like, you remind me of somebody. You know, you remind me of Ron James. And then they'll put down, you're the Ron James of edutainment, you know, and it's just like, or education. And it's true, you know, and I just laugh because I'm from the East Coast and we're all the same. You know, I'm from Newfoundland originally, and I have been in Manitoba for a long time. But I mean, if I was hanging out with my buddies down east, you know, we all pretty much are characters. I guess I'm saying too much about myself now.
But
in other places, they look at you and go, you know, wow, you know, who do you remind me of and stuff. We were talking about limiting beliefs. I'm curious as to what helped you push through your limiting beliefs. What is it that got you to the other side?
I got to the point where I didn't even want to go to work in the morning. I got there and I was doing the work. And I mean, I knew how to do it. I was good at it. I was very good at what I did. But, and I think that you need to find that, you need to find your passion in life, and you need to find what you're good at, and where those two intersect, then you need to find a way to make money at that.
Yeah. The big challenge in our society.
And my passion had at one time been serving, but it was no longer serving. I was still good at it, but it wasn't something that I was passionate about. And the opposite is true, too. I couldn't become a singer. I'm very passionate about singing. If you sit in the car with me, I'm singing all the time. I sang all the way here, summertime. Summertime and the living is... Never mind. But as you can tell from that, I'm passionate about it, but I'm no good at it.
Yeah, okay.
So those two, I need that intersection. You need that Venn diagram of where those intersect, and then you have to find a way to make a money at that. Yeah. You have to find a way to make a living. And that was the step that I needed to take. I had no more passion.
Yeah. And it's interesting you would find that. I have a similar story, roughly about the same time as you. So I would have been 42, and I just finished up a gig with PricewaterhouseCoopers. I was senior manager of Global Technology Solutions at the time. Had run huge projects and all sorts of stuff. But I left that world, and I was done. Right? I was done. And I knew I wanted to do something in a training development space. And I've always loved business. So, you know, I got into teaching business analysis and entrepreneurship and all that stuff. And, you know, I've been able to make a career out of it. So I get that. And it's interesting you talk about passion and finding something that you love to do. A lot of my guests come on and they talk about, well, it's so important to have passion. But some of them don't like to use the word passion anymore because they feel it's overused. You sort of have to find that thing that you really want to do and then pursue it to all the best you can. What about fears? Like, you know, there's lots of challenges when you step out on your own like that. What are some of the challenges that you've had working in your profession as an entrepreneur, as you call an edutainer? Did I get it right this time?
Yeah.
An edutainer, and then being able to, you know, move that whole career forward, because it's a big career change for you.
Well, it was a simple matter. I did start doing this part-time.
Okay.
I was a part-time pro. So I had some experience. I didn't just fall right into it and say, this is what I want to do. I did have some experience of performing in schools and corporately. And I used that as a starting off point. But obviously, the first little while was just getting enough business to make enough money to... Because I like to live inside and eat every day. So... Because there's so many people want you to do this stuff for free.
Oh, gosh, it's unbelievable.
But some of the challenges I found is that when you work in the area I work in, for example, I deal with principals. High school principals.
Yeah, because there's also principals, a company principal.
Yes, yeah. I just had to, thought I should clarify.
Differently, yeah. Most people don't know the spelling, but there's a difference.
But the school principal leaves every about 3 years. So you have to build a new relationship with a new person every 3 years. And if you're not touring through that area every year, then you don't have that opportunity. You have to rebuild that relationship every time. Because the nice thing about businesses when I've been in the past is you build up a client base. Those clients know you. They trust you. They know what you provide them is worth what you're charging, and they hire you every week, every year, I mean.
Yeah, they hire you over and over
and over
again.
Every week would be great.
It'd be great, yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. You know, and I think when you're in a service business, like we share a similar business. We have different client sets, but it's the same idea. And during break, we were talking about this a bit that, you know, I have some clients that I've done work with since 1997. But the only reason why I've been able to do it for that long with them is because of what you just said, reputation, right? I proved myself. I'm a, you know, those kind of things, right? And so they keep coming back. Interesting, the management has changed periodically, but because I'm already in with recognized things within the organization, I'm very fortunate. But it takes a while to do that. And when leadership keeps changing every 3 years or so, you're right. You got to continue to create those relationships.
Yeah, because some people I can call and I can just say, I'm coming through your area. I'm going to be there on October the 14th. I have no idea if that's a weekday, but I'm going to be there on October the 14th. I'm coming through your area. Would you prefer a morning or afternoon presentation? And they're just hiring me.
Yeah.
I know they're going to hire me. There are some occasions where, well, the 14th won't work. We don't have school that day or something, but normally they would just hire me. I know that some of them, because they've been there that long and I've worked with them for years. And building those relationships becomes tougher sometimes in this business because they change. The people who hire for the fair and the festivals all summer, they change almost every year.
Yeah. Volunteers normally?
It's a volunteer position in a lot of the smaller towns. And so it changes every year and they don't know you. So they didn't hire you 2 or 3 years ago. And they don't want the same entertainment every year. So I understand that too.
Yeah.
So it becomes an issue. Plus things change. I did addictions awareness for many, many years. Felt it was a very important middle school presentation. Topic.
Yeah.
And I did a presentation for them. And now no one wants to talk about it anymore.
It's not trendy?
It's not trendy anymore. Yeah, it's not the sexy thing anymore. Oh, we already talk about that.
Yeah.
I got news for you. You're watching the kids dying of fentanyl?
Yeah.
We're still not getting through to them.
Yeah.
So I haven't done that one. I've done it maybe once, twice a year over the last 5 years. Bullying became huge.
It's huge right now. Yeah.
But bullying is passé now. They don't want anything with the word bully in because bully is an overused word. And one of the problems is our province made a mistake, passed a law where they defined bullying as a one-time occurrence that you should have known would offend somebody. And that's not bullying. Bullying is...
it's usually consistent over a long period of time.
Well, it's like you couldn't bully me and I couldn't bully you because we're equals.
Yeah.
I don't have any power over you. You don't have any power over me. So,
and I'm in shape.
And you're in pretty good shape, but I'll weigh you by, you know, about
a few
pounds.
Kilos.
But we couldn't... You understand what I'm saying? So it has to be unequal in power and it has to be repetitious to be bullying. Those are real definitions. So the problem is everything becomes bullying. And so, you know, two grade five students hit each other in a schoolyard. The next morning, the principal has both sets of parents sitting in his office complaining their child has been bullied. No, your child was in a fight and we don't like that, but it wasn't bullying.
And there's a different definition.
Yeah.
It's interesting how things actually change over time and how you get impact in business. I think a lot of independent professionals experience that particular challenge. Greg, we're going to have to take a short break and continue this conversation. I think sharing with our listeners how you develop your business is probably a good thing to do. So maybe we'll do that in the next section. So this is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm hanging out with Greg Wood today. You know, Greg, one of the things I didn't ask you is, do you have a name for your company?
It's The Magic of Leadership.
The Magic of Leadership. Maybe that's a good place to start because I know that during the breaks, I've been talking a little bit about some of the stuff that you do. And I know during other segments, you talked about going out presenting to schools and stuff. But you do some corporate work too, don't you?
Oh, at least 50% of what I do is corporate.
Work. So in terms of bringing magic, and you correct me, right, if you don't want me to say bringing magic, but bringing magic to a corporate or business environment, like what kind of stuff do you do there?
Well, it's for illustration purposes.
Sure.
I mean, I do, okay, the Christmas party, the company Christmas party, the annual meeting, they want something for entertainment after the banquet,
sure.
The awards banquet. I do awards banquets and Christmas parties and things like that. And that is strictly entertainment. It's really quite funny because I will quite often cut the boss's head off. And let me tell you, that heads roll when that happens.
Oh,
yeah. They end up beside themselves, I'll tell you. But that's one of the things I do. But I also do presentations on leadership for them, for associations and businesses. And I tie in, when I'm illustrating a point, I tie it in with an illusion, a magical effect. And that really locks it in for a lot of people.
Can you give it better than
PowerPoint.
Yeah. This is how you become a better leader. I mean, really. Yeah. Here's your 10 points, right? So can you give us, I know it's difficult in terms of audio cast, but can you give us an example of a lesson you might be able to tie in leadership with? Is that possible?
Sure. Everyone has a leadership lid. You can't get past your leadership lid.
Yeah, similar to the boundaries we were talking about, limitations, yeah, right?
Your potential is high, but your leadership lid holds you down on how much you can accomplish. Because as a one person, you can't accomplish a whole lot. You need people to come alongside you, and you need to influence them. And when you influence them, that's how you need to raise your leadership lid. So when explaining that, I will take a $5 bill, show it on both sides, and talk about the fact that that's your lid. If you have a $5 lid, you can't get more than five. You can't buy more than $5 worth of candy for this. You can't go in and buy $10 worth of beer and hand them a $5 bill. They're going to throw you out.
And with inflation, it gets worse and worse all the time.
That's true. And taxes. You got to take taxes.
Yeah,
you
only get them too.
You're only getting just over $4. But so I take that and I'll talk about the fact that you can actually raise that. You can actually raise your leadership lid, and you can. There are things you can do, steps you can take. Those are the things that I teach. But when explaining it to begin with, I will take and change that bill magically into a $10 bill. And people say, why do you do that? And I say, because I can. But I magically switch the bill, I change the bill from a $5 bill to a $10 bill. And that really locks in with people.
Yeah.
Because they're locked in on the magic. They're watching. They don't want to look away. And it really drills home the concept in their minds. And that's why I love it so much.
So that's actually a really great example. And I have seen you perform, so I know roughly what you do in that. I find it interesting you talk about the lid, because I remember years ago when I was in my late 20s, I got asked by my sister. She did an income scale with me. And it was the same idea, right? So tell me when you get uncomfortable. And you say how much money you want to make annually, right? Until you hit a dollar amount that you start to get uncomfortable. And that sort of tends to be your lid in terms of your thinking and stuff. And I don't know if it's totally true. I mean, I did break through that. But I get the idea. And I think trying to deal with our lid or limitations are actually quite important. Basically, you've been self-employed now for a while, right? So you're independent professional.
Yes.
I always find it interesting. How do you go about getting your next gig? Or maybe we can sort of talk about it from the perspective of how do you run your business? And maybe there's somebody listening that's sort of thinking the same thing, and maybe we can give them a few lessons learned.
Yeah. Well, one of the first things I did was build credibility.
Yes.
I became a member of the John Maxwell team, a certified coach, speaker, and teacher with the John Maxwell team. And that was important because it gives you credibility. John Maxwell's still the number one leadership guru in the world, and
having him
as my mentor has been wonderful for me.
Yeah.
But I still use the method that is used by many, many people, and that is I get on the phone and I contact associations and organizations and I ask them whether or not they hire speakers.
Okay.
And if they hire speakers, I ask them if they might be interested in hearing a topic that I have to share with them. Once we get to a point where they want to sit down and discuss, then we can discuss how we can modify, change, make that fit their situation, the problems that they are having, the situation that they're in. And if it's not something that I deal with, if it's a processes thing and it's not something that I deal with in leadership and success, then I would say no. Call Richard Lynn.
But, that's very kind of you.
Well, because I'm not there to sell something to somebody that's not what they need. So you have to do a needs assessment with them. But once you've done the needs assessment, then I, of course, try to get hired. Put a proposal together.
Yeah, and it's interesting you're doing it the sort of the old-fashioned way, because I was having this conversation with some of my business associates, and we were talking about how often their phones don't ring anymore, but their text messages are going nuts, right?
Yes,
you know,
yeah.
And email and texting and stuff like this, and I've seen a big change in that too, you know, in terms of trying to reach people and connect with people. So I find it interesting that you're still making the old phone calls and
It is a little old school because it's, but I need to make that, I cannot build rapport with anyone using text and email.
Yeah, it's really difficult.
I don't know how to do that. Yeah. How do you build that rapport and build that trust? But I can do it when I'm talking to somebody on the phone or meeting them face to face.
Well, that's why I think one of our personal mentors, I sort of forget his name, often says, basically, you know, it's great that you connected with them by email and texting and everything, but now pick up the phone and call them, right?
So yes.
If somebody wanted to pick up the phone and call you or connect with you, how would they go about doing that?
Well, there's a couple of ways. If they just wanted to email, it's greg@gregwood.ca.
Yeah.
I couldn't buy .com. Somebody else owns it.
Yeah.
Probably a guy named Greg Wood.
Yeah.
But there's no website, but I still don't have the URL. Oh, they can phone me at 204-779-8066. I'd love to chat about anything, whether or not I can be a fit for what they're doing.
Yeah, or maybe even help them try to find somebody else. The business sector is always so interesting to me. And actually, any career transition that anybody goes through, whether they have a job and start a company, or they have a company and then they leave that and they go and take on a job, or they decide just to walk away from it altogether. What have been some of the big moments for you, and since you've actually decided to leave the surveying business and get into the edutainment business?
I guess the big one is needing to make a living. when I left and I walked in away from the business and got involved in doing this for different organizations. I worked with Leader Impact Group for several years to get experience there. I have my experience, of course, in the national boards of different not-for-profits and service clubs. But just raising my own leadership lid so that I can actually help other people do that.
So that's pretty good. What a show, Greg. I mean, I've thoroughly enjoyed hanging out with you and everything. If you had one final thought for our listeners, what would it be?
Everyone can become a better leader. A lot of people don't even think of themselves as leaders. And yet, if you're training young people, you're a mother at home training young people, you are a leader and you need to have influence. Because leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. It's influence. And that influence is what's going to let you accomplish more.
That's pretty good. That's good advice. Greg, thank you very much for hanging out with me today. I mean, I've had a real fun. Even during the breaks when the commercials are on, just the conversation we've had was a blast. I sometimes wish people could hear that. I also want to thank our listeners for joining us on Set for Success. Obviously, you know this already if you tune into me. If you have a question, a thought, an idea for a show, and even a guest that you think I should have on, just send me an email at richard@setforsuccess.ca. That's richard@setforsuccess.ca. And do remember to do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.